I was quite comfortable until Jim stood up there, and then I realized it wouldn't be long that I'd be standing up here. Sometimes it feels more like I'm standing in front of the judgment bar of God than up on a podium. I'm really grateful to be a member of the great family of Christ. I've listened to so much that's gone on this reunion, listened to most of the thoughts which I had intended to present to you, presented earlier. I know you've heard that often. But I guess until you've experienced it, it's hard to understand what it's like when people stand up and say even the very words that you would have said, and it could have been, it comes from anyone. In the testimonies and in the prayers and in the songs, the theme that you would like to present, you hear it being echoed. And so once again, as I have stated before, and I'll continue to state, I do believe God is blessing this people and that His hand is extended towards them in the greatest amount of mercy that you can understand. We are members of a family, a great family, a nation in our own right, a country with boundaries, I suppose, spiritual boundaries, a country within so many countries. And so I've been asking myself, what am I willing to do for my nation and for my country? I have a theme for my sermon today, and it's a very simple one that I don't want anyone to misunderstand, and I want you to understand what it is. And my theme is about humility. I remember I told my daughter, she gave me a bunch of rocks, and I told her I was going to use them in my sermon, so I'm going to use it in my sermon. She gave me these rocks, and I remember when I was going to grade school, well, there were three seasons. Every year, there were three seasons for year after year. And there was, during that nine-month period of school, well, there was the marble season, and there was the yo-yo season, and there was the top season. And you rotated from one to the other, and that's what all the kids did during recess. They either had their marbles or their yo-yos or their tops, but they never had them all at the same time. It was one or the other, depending on what happened to be the right thing to do at the time. I remember we learned things real quick. When I was a kid and I took my bag of marbles to school, well, you know, you would look at them. I knew every marble that I had. And I pulled them out and I would examine them and I would compare them with everyone else's marbles. And I would wonder, well, you know, do I really have the right marbles? Do I have the proper marbles? You know, do I have enough agates or Clarys or boulders or steelies or cat's eyes? Do I have enough of these things? And I remember telling my mother one time that I had to get a top, and you had to get the right top. You couldn't just have any top. You had to be the right top. And the tops, if I remember right, were made by a company called Duncan, and you had to get one made by the Duncan top and yo-yo, and they made yo-yos, and they had to be the right one. And my mother went down and she bought me a top, and it was a wooden top, and mother did not get me the right top. And I was too embarrassed to take that top to school because it just was not the right top. You had to have a top that had the little plastic replaceable tips, and you could get the expensive ones, and you could get the cheap ones, and you could get them in bags, and you could get tops that were clear, and they were all different colors, and they looked like they swirled, and they glowed in the dark, and they did all kinds of things, but you had to have the right top. And that kind of thing carries over into your life. And I remember being in high school, of course, when you get in high school, well, different things begin to become more important. You begin to, at least I did, you begin to want to become a part of something. You know, you want to be with the right group of people or have the right friends. And I remember standing around at school, you had to get there at the right time. there's a right time to get to school, and it's several minutes before school starts, so you can stand around the outside of school and watch everyone else come in, see? And there's a certain way to stand there. When people come in, there's a certain way to say hello. And a certain way to hold your hands in your pocket, and a certain kind of pants to wear. And these are the wrong kind of pants, by the way. So we begin struggling for acceptance, some kind of identity. What is your identity? What kind of an identity does our little kingdom and our family, this great extended family that extends across national boundaries, and within this room there's every kind of person that you can think about, just about, from every kind of walk of life, businessmen and farmers and mechanics and housewives and teachers. What is our identity? I believe a sister stood up today and she said that no one knows the right answers, or no one has all the answers, and I know that's true. But I know that there is someone who has them. Someone has all the answers. And we need to think about our identity and the buildup of our country, our kingdom, the little church of Christ. I've come here. It's been expressed by many people, and if they've come here to have their cup filled and to partake of the simplistic mystery of Jesus Christ. I want to read a scripture before I go any further, and about my subject. And this first scripture I'm going to read is in John, St. John, the third chapter, and I'm going to read the 27th verse. And that's the only verse I'm going to read, and if you'd like to read it later on to find out the context in which it's taken in, but I'm going to do my best not to take it out of its context. The 27th verse of the third chapter says, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." I came here to because sometimes I tell myself, and I've told myself, that I need to do certain things, that I need to study, and I need this, and I need to pull myself by the bootstraps up out of some kind of a problem or some kind of a weakness or some kind of a sin that I may be in. But I've come to realize that there's something else. Instead of pulling myself up out of the gutter occasionally, as we each do once in a while, I know that I need a Savior. As kids, my children already have, they try and they exhibit their independence, and they try to get away from their parents once in a while, and they want to sit across the room from us in church, and sometimes they want to, so they can see my son. Before an hour and a half was passed this morning, well, he made three trips outside, and he was exhibiting some of his freedom. And for some strange reason, it's natural for us to try and free ourselves from our parents, to try and free, and it is, it's, it, it, there's nothing more, I don't want to give you the wrong impression, because there's nothing that parents can do, give their children, that's any greater than teaching them some way and giving them the tools and the ability to be independent in life. But I find that as I've grown older, that I don't need independence. I I need a savior, and I need a father, and I need someone that I can run to. I need someone that I can lean upon, and I need a crutch. People have told me that religion is just a crutch, and it really is. But I've observed some of these same people that have told me this, and I've observed what happens when a tragedy happens in their close family. I've observed when they do things like they run over a dog or something, and I've observed how it affects them. You know, it doesn't make me happy when someone passes away. But I can run to my Father, which makes us a family. We are a family. And my subject today of humility is because I believe the Lord gave me that thought. I was home. My wife and I went to bed early, and I woke up an hour or so later, and there this subject was on my mind. I thought, well, maybe I'll just do a little studying about this subject, about the subject of humility and becoming as a little child. Don't ever underestimate your ability in this world to have an impact on those around you. Sometimes it's very subtle, the impact that you can have. Our sister Frances said this morning that this is an age or a day of opportunity. And in history and past, when I look in the scriptures and I look at things that have been written about history, I see that sometimes the trials and the tribulations and the horrible things that were happening were the opportunities which God used. God used these terrible things for His own purposes. So I'm thinking about all the terrible things that I see today. One of the most terrible things that I see that's the product of our culture today is the fact that you can't go anywhere and get good service. You know that? You can't go anyplace. You can't go to a doctor. There are some. And you're lucky if you find one. You're very fortunate if you find a good doctor. And you can't go to a restaurant and get good service. It's hard to go to a grocery store. It's hard to go any place you can think of, any kind of a department store. You can't get good help any place because you can't find anyone that cares. They just don't care. Now think for a minute. It's already been mentioned about the kind of churches that are in this world today. Men who are seeking riches and power and glory and their own pride. So how are you going to stand out? What kind of an identity are you going to have? If you truly desire, I heard some echo today of a desire to do something in your life. Well, there is something that we can do. And it's part of the simplistic beauty of the gospel. And it's hard to be understood sometimes. You can't go anywhere and find anyone that cares. And when you do, you really are, it kind of takes you back. You know, it does me. I'm surprised when I find someone that cares. But if you want to stand out in life, if you're at your job, if you're taking care of kids, if you're a mother, if you're a salesman, if you want to stand out in the world, it's going to be very easy. The very thing that we hate to see the most that gives us so much trouble and trial and tribulation is the thing that will enable us, at least in one way, to stand out in the world. Because you can care. You can care about the kind of work you do. You can care about the kind of service that you give. You can care. And there aren't very many people who do. And you can stand, and people will notice. They will see it. And you will have done something. If you have no effect on people, I've come to understand and believe, if you haven't affected someone in this life, you haven't done anything. If you can't affect somebody's life, and if you can't help them, whether it be your children or your parents or your neighbors or the people that you work with, if you haven't had some kind of an effect on someone, you haven't done anything. And everything else is just going to pass away. Be burned up and decay and grow old. But we read here that John the Baptist said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And we have to realize, all of us have this natural man within inside of us that tells us to try and be a little independent. And for some reason in this world of competition, we try to stand on our own two feet. We want to be able to tell someone, to show them, mothers and fathers want to be able to raise their children just the right way. The right way. They don't want, you know, they don't want it to be wrong with what's the norm around them. It's got to be just the right way. But there is a right way. And the Master of Men has given us an example. My chief scripture today is also from John, and the 13th chapter. Beginning with the 4th verse. If you want to stand out, if you want to really stand out, you have to be humble. I had an experience here. I hesitate to say very much about this, but I had an experience with a man recently who was taking on a position, a job of responsibility to supervise a few people, and he's a Christian, but really you couldn't tell it from listening to him. When he started off in his job, the thing that he said was, he told his two subordinates, he said, "Now, you got to understand, I'm up here and you're down here." And when he told me this, I just kind of, oh no. Doesn't really know much about dealing with people. And he really can't be a Christian. I'm up here and you're down there. So let's begin here in the 13th chapter of John, the 4th verse. He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." And Peter saith unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." I understand, just keep your place right there, I understand from looking back through Bible commentaries and things, that it was the custom of the land. That was the servant's job whenever you went to someone's house. They washed your feet, and it was considered the lowliest job that you could do. I remember a man that I worked with at a Pontiac dealership. He told me one time, he wasn't very much of a virtuous Christian, but he told me one time, he said he had a service manager that he worked under. And he started off there, and he was pushing a broom, and all he did in this place was he cleaned up the messes, and he scraped up all the grease, and he took care of the dirtiest job in the place. And they had a place, a kind of a sump, where they drained everything, and then they let the water and stuff evaporate off, and then they had all this sludge and muck and gross, putrefying liquid, you know, there, full of all kinds of stuff. And he was told to go clean it out, this young man was. And he said that something happened. His service manager came over there dressed in his slacks and a white shirt and a tie. And he saw him down there shoveling this stuff up. He rolled up his sleeves and he jumped in with it. Now, I don't know if the man was a Christian or not, but I do know this, that act, that simple act, impressed that man so much that he never forgot it, and he would do anything that that service manager asked him to do, because the man didn't put himself above anyone else, and there was no task that he wasn't willing to do. And so he was a man that someone could follow and respect. And that's the kind of thing that you can do, and you can shine. You can shine like nobody else in this world, because there aren't very many people that are doing that now. There's hardly anyone that's willing to humble themselves enough to be a servant, to be a servant, to serve people. Let's read on. The 10th verse. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all of you. For he knew what should be who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was sat down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I'd like to repeat that last verse, the 17th verse. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Now, I have to admit, there are many times in my life, and today is no exception, I guess usually I don't need to study more. I need a teacher. I don't need to be risen above or lifted up above anyone else. I need a master and a father, and that's what each one of us needs. And that's what our little church needs. We need a master and a father. And no one of us is greater than any other. In Mark, we read that the Now, let's go to Matthew first. In the 20th chapter. Are you hot enough yet? Well, I'll keep fanning for just a little while. It is very hot. In the 20th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 20th verse, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she saith unto him, Grant that these, my two sons, may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them of whom it is prepared by my Father. And when the 10 heard it, that's the 10 other disciples, They were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Thus we see that we become servants in this gospel, and we have a great need of humility. The ministry of this church have a great need of humility. Everyone in this church has a great need of humility. I was very touched by that story that Bob told us last night about that little child who walked off out into the wheat fields and was lost and perished. But that's the way we are, I guess. For some strange reason, there's, at least within men and within young men, there's a desire to have some kind of the word, I guess, is macho. To have a macho image and to be a better man than the next person. To be stronger, to be tougher, to be smarter. And with women, I really, I can't really say, except I think some of the same things are our natural desires to have and to be. But to do those kind of things, we have to stray from our parent. And so if you feel those pangs in your heart and you feel the stresses and the strains of life, then perhaps maybe you've wandered off away from your heavenly parent and you've strayed from his tender, loving care. I'm very impressed by that. As I sat here today and I listened to the testimonies, I do believe that the love of God is extended to us. And that his patience with us has been tremendous. His patience with you and his patience with me. I can't do anything of myself, and I know I can't. I don't know how to show people that except by some of the actions that maybe I'll be able to do in my life. I don't know how to show people that I'm humble. I don't know any other way. Just saying it really doesn't mean anything, does it? It just doesn't mean anything unless you can show it in your life, unless your actions show that you really are humble and that you don't desire to be above other people and that you're willing to do all the kind of things that they're willing to do. You're willing to place yourself in the circumstances of every individual and look them in the eye and treat them as equals. But today, the people that I meet on our way down to lunch, or our way back, I guess it was, I drove out into the intersection, and 50 yards down the road, there was a boy on a motorcycle with somebody on the back, and he wasn't anybody here, but he was somebody else. I didn't recognize him. They didn't have helmets on. And I don't know, I guess I was just too close or something, and he was mad before he got to the intersection, and he was just mad at me. And his lips, were flying this fast, and I find that wherever I go. But it's unusual, isn't it? It'll be unusual if you find kindness in this world. It'll be unusual. But this little church, if we're willing to become the servants of all, the servants of every man and woman and child, and the servants of one another, and to humble ourselves before each other, I do believe that God will shine upon this little church. And our opportunities may be right in front of you and be some of the simplest things that you can't quite understand. And your peace of mind will come in service, giving your service to your fellow man. I'm going to go to the Book of Mormon and read a couple of scriptures. This will be the last ones that I'll read. I know it's very hot. It's very hard, very difficult to sit and remain and intent and alert. But I'm watching you if you fall asleep, so. And I am taking notes. I do have rocks up here. I don't want to use them anymore, but... In Mosiah, in the first chapter, verse 116. Let's go to verse 119. And we'll get right to the meat of what we're talking about today. For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. But if he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint. Now don't get feeling too big, because this word saint, sometimes you may place a saint on kind of a pedestal, but he's really not. A saint is nothing more than a servant. It's nothing more than the servant of all. Though the atonement of Christ the Lord, through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. I would like to tell the young people, the young men and women of this church, that within the walls of this little congregation right here, you young people, I don't know if you're listening or not, all you little ones, and if you're old enough to understand what I'm saying, probably right here in this congregation are the finest group of men and women that you'll ever meet in your life. And I don't just mean that, we have a long way to go, but I don't... And let me explain what I mean. I've known the most intelligent women I've ever known have been in the Church of Christ. The most spiritual people I've ever known have been in the Church of Christ. The bravest men I've ever known have been in the Church of Christ. Some of the strongest men that I've ever known have been in the Church of Christ. And I haven't lived a sheltered life, really. You know, I've been out in the world. I've seen people. I've seen all that. You go out in the working world, and every man is the toughest man you ever met in your life. I don't know why it is, but men are like that. You know, they're always bragging about how tough they are. But I think right here in this room that we have some of the finest people that you'll find on the face of this earth. And I'm not saying that for the adults' benefit. I'm saying that for the kids' benefit. Because you don't need to identify. You know, today, instead of the marbles, you know, do I have the right marbles and the right tops and the right... Now it's the, do I have the right kind of skateboard? And it's not a $5 top anymore. It's a $200 skateboard. And do I have the right wheels? And do I have the right bearings? And all these things. Do I have the right thing? But God asks us, and I believe it's the way of happiness, to be a simple people and to be servants. Now, I don't know how we're going to combat all these things. I don't think we really can completely combat them. But we really have to shine. We have to shine in the world so much that our children can see that what we do is something that's good. That our children can see that we're not weak. That's the impression that a lot of people have in the world. When the men that I've worked with in the working world, if you tell them, they find out you're a churchgoer, they think immediately you're just a weakling. And I don't know why that is, but it's true. It's not really true, though. It's not really true. But my subject is about humility. Some of you know that I've made some very feeble efforts trying to get acquainted with some Indians. some North American Indians. And I met some and made an impression on a few, and but one thing that I've learned, it wouldn't take much, brothers and sisters, for the strength that we have to be taken away. And the strength that we have is not our own strength, but it's the strength that God has given to us. And by looking at these people that I've associated with, and not just those, our Lamanite brothers, but others, I see it wouldn't take much for us to become just absolutely nothing, to become worthless. Just a, when I've been working and I had a car fall on me, and it just, in a second my life could be taken away, and only by the grace of God are we here and are we present. I'm going to go again. My last scripture is going to be in 3 Nephi. And I'm going to read in the 4th chapter. And I'm going to begin on page 628, and I'm going to read the 49th verse. And ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood, yea, your sacrifices, and your burnt offerings shall be done away. And of course, this is referring to the sacrifices that were part of the law of Moses. And there were sacrifices that were performed before the law of Moses as well. And Jesus was the last sacrifice. You know, sometimes I never know how much people know, because I'm sure most of us know that. But maybe everyone here doesn't know that. That what we're talking about, the shedding of blood, is not the kind of shedding of blood of hatred, but the shedding of blood of sacrifices that was offered before Christ died on the cross. For I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings, and ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me, at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. Behold, I have come unto the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whoso repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive. For of such is the kingdom of God. Behold, for such I have laid down my life, and have taken it up again. Therefore repent and come unto me, ye ends of the earth, and be saved. And we still have a heavenly parent who calls out to us to come home, to find shelter, to find strength. In the hour of our darkest hour and times of trouble and trial and tribulation, he still calls out unto us to come home. But we have to be humble, and we have to be children. We grow up and our children try for independence, but it's our job not to be independent. It's a strange thing when you become a child of God, how you can stand on your own two feet. Across the page, verse 55, and it came to pass that there came a voice again unto the people, and all the people did hear and did witness of it, saying, O ye people of these great cities which have fallen, who are descendants of Jacob, yea, who are of the house of Israel, O ye people of the house of Israel, how oft have I gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and have nourished you. And again, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, yea, O ye people of the house of Israel who have fallen. Yea, O ye people of the house of Israel, ye that will dwell at Jerusalem, as ye that have fallen. Yea, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens, and ye would not. O ye house of Israel, whom I have spared, how oft will I gather you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, if ye will repent and return unto me with full purpose of heart. That's my last scripture. I had a few others, but I don't feel to read them. I know, I guess, my sermon really is kind of a declaration and a kind of bearing my soul in a way. It's very difficult to stand up here. It's very difficult. I was going to read a scripture in Hebrews that says that no man taketh this honor unto himself, except he that is called of God, as was Aaron. I know that the ministry of this church need to be very, very careful because of the example that we have in the scriptures of many men who have fallen away because of pride or thinking they really did something when they didn't do anything at all. Revelations tells me that the great whore of all the earth, as she sits upon the many waters and sells her merchandise, that in 1 hour she'll be laid waste. And I know that in just a moment, without God's help, that you and I can be laid waste spiritually. But we aren't. God has been merciful to us, and He still is merciful to us. But only when we're children, when we approach Him as a father.
Thank you, my brother.